Where are we? Where are we?
Derek Shim, I don't remember where we left off.
Talked about the Malachim and the Kaikas, okay, I did it. And the domain existence of a person is up there. Oh, the Chavetz Chaim. That was beautiful shir. You know, you're lucky I like this shir, though, so I would not be here now. Because I'm a sick dog. I'm a sick dog. I'm sick as a dog. The dog should get better?
Sure. Whatever works.
Alright, so he goes further with this. This next shtickle, he goes further with this. People exist on two levels. They exist down here and they exist up there. The main existence is up there, not down here. You've ever experienced a phenomenon which we call sleep?
What?
Sleep.
What was that?
Have you ever slept in your life?
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you something. God created everything in this world dependent. Everything in this world is dependent. Even rocks. I'll give you an example. I mean, you know, rocks, you're probably thinking every single doesn't know what he's talking about because rocks are not dependent. Yes, they are. If you extract all the moisture from a rock, what happens to it? Right. So rocks are also dependent. You just, you know, they don't have to take in, you know, everything is dependent. And food. Oh, yeah. What happens if people don't eat food?
Spoils.
No, they
what
die.
What happens to the person? Now, he's saying what happens to the food.
I thought...
And that's why my wife didn't send me with the child last week on Thursday. I was going to bring a leftover child to yeshiva on Thursday. She said, no, you don't bring leftover child to yeshiva on Thursday.
Why? Bad?
Well, I think the bucket won't eat anything.
Yeah.
It was in the refrigerator the whole week. What? Buck will eat it if it was left out for a whole week. I believe it's Thursday morning breakfast. But yeah, the people will die. God made it that way. He wants everything to be dependent. When you go to sleep, you know what happens when you go to sleep? Going to sleep is like plugging in an electric car into the power station after you drive 100 kilometers. I have to be up to date with my examples. I can't use gas stations anymore because there aren't going to be any more gas stations.
Well, they have that in Canada, but you can plug in your car.
They're going to have it in Israel. They have a contract already with Renault.
Renault?
They have a contract with the Renault car company to supply electric-powered cars to Israel within the next 4 years. Renault has already signed on the contract. Within the next 4 years, they have to put in the infrastructure in Israel that people can power up their car anywhere in Israel. That means every 100 kilometers you need a power station, minimum. So that's what sleep is. Sleep is food. Sleep is food. That's right, before you go to sleep, you're tired. When you wake up, you're refreshed.
Or you're still tired.
We're not talking about you.
Well, everyone's tired when they wake up.
Why are you tired after you
drink a cup of coffee?
Young kids, when they wake up, are they tired when they wake up? Did you ever notice that? They wake up, they're ready, they jump all over the place. By the time they're tired. Old people are tired when they wake up. Young kids never want to go to sleep. When you were a kid, did you ever want to go to sleep? Ever?
No.
Old people want to go to sleep. Young kids, you can't get to bed. Get to dinner and go to sleep at 12 o'clock at night. She will not go to sleep. She goes like this. She goes, Gidolina will not sleep. Nobody sleeps. Sleep is spiritual. It's physical muzzle. physical mazon. It's a, you know, when we're awake, our body and our soul have a certain type of relationship with each other. That's when they work hand in hand with each other. They go to sleep, the soul goes off on its own. Now it still has a relationship with the body, because if it didn't, the person would die. But the soul goes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and spends some time in Hashem's presence. And if I may use the mashal, put a million hevdels, you know, alpha, alpha hevdels of a solar panel that every night it pops up somewhere where the sun is flying, you know. There's like a recharge over there. Solar panel just pops up, you know. It goes into outer space and faces the sun and it comes down, you know. The soul eats at night.
So what? Eats?
Eats, yeah. It eats.
So sleeping is recharging our soul?
Yeah, sleeping is when the soul could finally be real, you know. Sleeping is during the day a person is fake. During the day a person could be one thing and say he's something else.
But when you're learning, is learning not feeding the soul?
Sleeping is real.
And learning isn't?
Did I say learning isn't?
So, but we're talking about feeding the soul. And then you said that while you're awake, it's fake.
Did I say the learning isn't?
No, you said but while you're awake, it's fake, and you're awake while you learn.
Yeah, because even though you're learning in a fake world. You're still learning in a fake world. You're learning truth, but you're learning in a fake world. The world is fake. You're learning in Eilam Hazeh. You're learning in Eilam Hazeh. You're learning. What? That's a good sign.
Does that happen to you?
Did you ever learn about the Gemara's that talk about messages that people get when they sleep?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is in brachos, right?
Right, you've heard of dreams? So why is it that people...
really messed up dreams.
People have dreams that Hashem shows them the truth, because when someone's sleeping, that's when the false part of him is passive and the true part of him is active, so he has more access to the truth. So we're more ourselves when we sleep than when we're awake, because when we're awake, the part down here is active. But the ikkar of the person is the part up there.
Like when perceiving, like, I said something and then you'll say, it really is and stuff.
Well, I thought it's I was crying when I sleep last night.
Someone like says something to you when you're sleeping, mm-hmm. and there's no
well,
like.
Well, I thought it's I was crying when I sleep last night.
That
you'll
lie.
That's
like when
I was talking in my sleep last night. Apparently.
Were you crying?
No, I didn't think so.
Maybe I was crying because of what you were talking about. We have no Iker Matthias or Elon Matsava Miti. Okay, the same all Yainim. The Iker of a person is up there. The told us Mash Bamu Mash Mash Fallen. And what we have done here is an outcry. Was there Ben Mash Matkilas? Ben Mash Mashkadish Gustavus as well. This is true. And the origin of everything, the origin of the everything is the Shemayim component is the Iker. Or even after the world has been brought in a state of creation, it's already been created. But there's changes. What's created as a result of the powers, of the kaikas, of the life. The life which is not physical. True life, Fisidish and Israel, and according to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, creates them in an orderly fashion. Hashem sets them up in an order. There's an order. By Gulam Shagulam, there's certain limits imposed. So it's like a chain afterwards. According to the rigid guidelines, Kadosh Baruch Hu causes the process to extend into our world. The Bari is much more wise. And if there's renewal among the life force of the world, there's going to be renewal down here. In this short paragraph, he's saying something which you really have to dedicate a lot of part of your life to, a large part of your life understanding.
What does he say? In ways that we can understand.
Achein ha-metziyas ha-matzav ha-seder, in reality, hoshav, chanas, v'kepes. Everything in this world, there's different things that are distinct from one another. Himash ha-shayach v'amach yamitas yiyanam. That's because at the very core there's differences. Metziyas ha-matzav ha-seder, v'koshav, rikam, v'shvalim, v'shtaltav, v'netach, v'shayach v'amach yamitas yiyanam. You have two people. That one guy has a bigger nose than another guy. God doesn't have a factory that produces random noses. If you have a nose, you got a nose. You got to see it off. God doesn't have a nose factory. It has like 3,292,529,623 settings. And then the guy pushes the button and it turns out random noses. Every nose is different. Every nose of every person on the face of this earth is different. And all the noses on this earth are different from any noses that ever preceded all the beings in this world. There's an infinite amount of noses. You would not find the exact same nose. Like fingerprints.
That's scientific fact?
Yes. But it's not true because they say it. It's true because the Torah says it. The nose is the tool of the person. Did you ever see what somebody looks like without his nose?
They were totally different.
You wouldn't recognize that.
Yeah.
They have touched up photos. We take away the nose. We don't appreciate our noses. Our nose is the first thing that it projects the face. It's the projection of the face. It's the part that protrudes. The eyes are sunken in. The nose is
the
first thing.
Yeah, also the eyes. You don't see someone's eyes and you probably won't recognize it.
The off the nose is the individuality of the person. It's in the nose. And people have different noses.
People have nose jobs.
They have a nose job, it's changing the cutaneous. It doesn't affect the cutaneous. So you have something physical. And that physical part of a person's body is the mark upon him that makes him uniquely like no one else in the entire world. It's physical. Purely physical. And it doesn't make a difference how big your nose is, how little your nose is, but it's there. Because the body is not created from a vacuum. God does not just create a body. If God would create a body, then all bodies would be the same. Why not? Why does the nose have to be large? Why does it have to be small? Why can't the noses be the same? Why not? If God just created bodies, ask yourself this. So why do noses have to be different? Make the perfect nose to breathe in. What's the purpose of the nose? To breathe in, smell it. It's the perfect thing, you know, the air passages.
It's like saying create the perfect body. Everybody's body is
different. We're talking about noses here. Let's not get away from noses. But God doesn't create bodies. God creates souls. And the soul of a person is the main essence. The main is the essence of the person. It's the ikkar of the person. And the soul has 613 components to it. The soul can be broken down to 613. And the soul has a drive to perfect itself in 613 different areas. The soul has a soul is created with a drive, with a quench, with an unquenchable thirst to perfect itself in 613 totally different ways. And that's all a soul wants to do. And it's almost like, you know, someone drops you off in a resort somewhere. You're a puny little guy. And they tell you, if you want to get out of here, you got to bulk up. You weigh 138 pounds. You got to get to 163. You've got to be able to do 60 hook shots in a row without hitting the backboard. You've got to stay on your surfboard for at least 5 minutes without getting thrown off, etc., etc., etc. You have a burning desire to perfect, you know, wind parasailing, windsurfing, surfboard, deep sea diving. I'm sure we can come up with 613. Pumping iron, diameter of your biceps. It has to be exact! Exact! And then you can get out of there. You're driven. You're gonna have a schedule, you're gonna have, you know, you're gonna have a rigid training schedule. You know, you're gonna get up at 6 in the morning, 6:05, you do curls, 6:05 to 6:10, you do stretches, you're gonna go warm yourself up, you're gonna go, man. The neshama is pumped! It's got 613 obstacle course! 613 challenges! And then there's another thing. Every single neshama has... Here we have these... we've got this game on the Palm Pilot called... Traffic or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Every time you play, you have a different board. And it's supposed to be a random, you have to be able to get rush hour, get your car out. Now, could you imagine if they programmed such a game that every single person was faced with a different set of problems to get the car out, and they're engineered specifically to challenge you? You give it to Shiva and he'd be out in 2 seconds. But every single this type of challenges him. He can't deal with threes and fours and twos and ones. You know, he's binary challenge. And when the small thing is behind the big thing, he loses it. So that I'm always going to get those. So you don't just get 613 challenges in a neshama. You get 613 unique challenges just for that in the neshama. Now, in order for the neshama to do these things, it has to have hands, because it can't do it without hands. You can't pick up the ruler without a hand. So Hashem tells the neshama, okay, you got 613 challenges, you got 613 abilities. Because for every challenge, you have an ability. You got 613 power-ups. So use those power-ups to create a body to do all those things. Now you can understand why noses are different.
They're not
because the nose is created by a spiritual nose. And the spiritual nose has a job to do that nobody else in the world has. Something to do with noses. That it can only do by creating a nose. It creates a spiritual nose that has a job and a drive to do something that only it can do. No one else has this challenge. And to do that, it has to create a physical nose to get it done. And for what it has to do, that physical nose has to be different than anybody else's. Now you can understand why noses are different.
And it should be like that with everything else.
It is. And they are, and I was just using noses as an example. We're getting deeper into why the ichor is the up. But even though the ichor is the up, we thought they'd grow the down. The up makes the down. So down's pretty important too. And anything that's down here, the way it is, the way it looks, what it's able to do, what it's expected to do, is because of the up. Whatever we find down here, the way it looks, what its abilities are, what its capabilities are, what it's designed for, is all dictated because of what's in Shemayim. In Shemayim, they have certain expectations of a neshama, which is not physical. And a neshama, in order to fulfill that expectation, has to have a body exactly in this particular way. Not duplicated by anyone else in the world at the time, anyone before, anyone afterwards. Even identical twins are different. As Baylor knows. You can't fool me, Baylor. I know who you are.
If you affect something down here, does it affect the thing?
It works, yeah, of course it works in both directions. A person does something with his body, he can injure his soul.
Really?
Of course.
You can hurt yourself?
Yes, a person can hurt himself.
He
can hurt the spiritual. He can make himself spiritually weaker by a physical action.
But if you make somebody else do something,
there's a concept that all souls are attached to one source. Call Yisrael Arayu Zelazah. Is it clear so far?
It's getting murky.
It's good so far? There's one thing that's already down here. So everything that's down here, rock, tumbleweed, the currents of the oceans, the Milky Way galaxy, black holes, electric eels.
I like this.
They all come from Shemayim. Hashem created a spiritual being. That spiritual being has a drive to perform a certain function within a mazeh, and that spiritual being created the physical part of itself that's going to enable it to do that. Everything came from Shemayim, and then the next step was a continuity. Ala Aretz, it took a form Ala Aretz. There's one thing that originates on Aretz. It originates here. And that is free will. Free will is here. In fact, free will is only here. Free will, Malachim are not here. Malachim are there. They don't have free will. That's what I said, angels. Yeah. Animals are all here. Malachim are all there.
We're in between.
Free will is someone that has the extremes together.
Free will is not in our story.
Free will is someone that has a neshama upon high and comes down to here. Animals don't have a neshama up high and high to come down to here. So they don't have the free will.
Free will only exists in confusion.
Right.
What did you say? Free will only exists in confusion?
Turmoil.
Because free will is a fake concept.
Free will exists only among someone who's in conflict.
Why?
Because did you see two choices? How do you see two choices if only one is the real choice? How do you see two choices? Only from turmoil. So there's two kinds of movement in this world. There's a forced movement which has no... we don't have input on. There's a forced... there's something which is forced. A blade of grass must exist. There's actually a lashon or a medrash. Ein lecha kol esiv ha'esiv, not a single blade of grass. She'ein malach oimid alav, the malach doesn't stand over it. But makei esiv, and he hits the blade of grass. But me'ela gadel, he says grow. Why did Chazal put it in those terms? Because there's certain movements, we'll call it a movement. Certain motion, certain process of motion, it's forced. Grass must grow. It's inevitable. You plant a seed, fertile ground, it rains, the grass grows. There's no choice. There's no alternative. Grass grows. In Shemayim, there's a process put in motion, the grass should grow. And that process has an impact on the physical world that the grass grows. Forced. What? Yeah, I've been praying for the grass to grow is where these two systems come together, okay? So, right? Okay? Because I'm sure you're aware that there's grass that grows without the farmer praying for it. I'm just saying, you know, so, there's a point where these two worlds come together, but there's hechrich, forces of nature. Earth, you know, the sun revolves around the earth. What I'll say. Goes. So there's a movement from Lamal Lamata, from up, down. Up, down is, it's a force. And then there's Bechira, that you're down here, and with your Bechira you can make movement up there.
How can an animal kill a person?
So, you know, Maisie, he's saying, this is one, how can an animal kill a person? Can't kill a person that doesn't have something in common with the animal. People that don't have anything in common with animals, an animal cannot kill. An animal cannot kill a person. An animal can only kill an animal. It's a mashal instead of shams. That's why Cain was afraid that the animal was going to kill him after he murdered his brother Hevel, not before. What?
What happens when some animals do kill
people? The people that they kill had something in common with them. They have something. Animals kill other animals.
So if someone gets killed by
Daniil, do you ever have Daniil?
Yes.
He was put in the lion's den for refusing to bow to the idols.
Okay.
What did the animal do?
Nothing.
Why not?
They what?
Why not?
I don't know, because they're controlled by God.
It wasn't a miracle, no.
It was not. Being nice to them?
No. It wasn't a miracle. Because animals only kill animals.
They're scared of him.
The animal was in awe of him. The animal senses, animals do have instincts. Animals have instincts. And they sense that the Neil is above them. What do you do when somebody walks into the room and you sense, even without knowing who he is, he's above you?
He's a what?
You're sitting in a room, sitting in a basement dish. Somebody walks in the room, and without even knowing who it is, just by looking, you can sense he's above you.
Yeah.
What do you do?
Respect
stand
them.
Up. Stand up. Why are you standing up with somebody you don't know?
Respecting her.
Respecting. Animals respect people. Animals don't respect animals.
Hello, wait. Morning. You don't have to do calling. He knows calling. What are you going to do, leaving yourself?
Now with our Bechira, we do our Bechira, the vast majority of our Bechiras are with physical objects. All our Bechiras all focus around the physical. I mean, there are Bechiras that transcend the physical. Bechiras about what to think about. Bechiras about speech, but our Bechiras are the actions. The actions are physical things. We make a Bechira to give tzedakah. So how do you do that? Put your physical hand in your physical pocket. You take out the physical money. You hand it to the physical poor person. And you buy physical food. So everything you did was physical.
You had the Bechira, which said nothing.
No, but since everything physical here was created by something spiritual, so your physical hand did it, but your physical hand was created by your spiritual hand. Physical money was created by spiritual money. Physical money was brought into existence by a force which is not physical. Everything in creation is a two-step process. God created life, a life force, a force that could bring things into existence, and that force created its physical counterpart.
Death.
Not death. Life. God created a naked old man, and that person took a needle and thread and made himself a suit of clothes.
It's very deep.
What? God created a spiritual person. You know you have a soul. So God created your soul. And one of the first job your soul had was to create the perfect body for your Vasa soon to do what only he could do. So even though the choices we make down here is physical, but everything that we do with the physical thing is connected to things way beyond this world. So there's two directions. There's the process of creation, which is from Shemayim to Eretz. And that process is an ongoing process. Hashem keeps doing that. And then there's a process called Bechira, which starts from the Eretz and goes to Shemayim. Alright, so we're getting into a little bit. Makes sense. Makes sense. That's why your nose is different than someone else's nose. Because your purpose in life is different than someone else's purpose. Because there's no point in having two people with the same purpose. So your nose is different. The one body organ, the one organ in the body that did not participate in the cut of either from the Eitz HaDaas, was the nose.
About the ears.
But that it smelled
she
good.
Listened. She spoke to the snake.
Did she smell the apple?
No, she didn't. That's the only thing she didn't do.
Why not?
Because the individual, the nose is the individuality of the person. And that did not permit her to sin all the way. If she would have smelled the, if she would have smelled the fruit,
we wouldn't have noses.
So he wouldn't be able to do tshuva.
Oy.
The only reason why he could do tshuva is because there's one part of us that never was involved in the fact. And that's the most prominent part of the. That's not the nose, that's the mouth.
Involved with the nose?
She didn't smell it.
If you didn't have a nose, you wouldn't be able to taste it.
I don't have a nose and I can taste. Right. So she didn't taste the eggs, the das, with her nose. Come here.